All right, welcome back to the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast. I am your host, Chad, and I am joined here with two of the coasters, one from the North Coast. We have Chip, the delivery man, and then the broker out east, Dale, coming out of the DC area. How are you doing, guys, and are you ready to go?
Doing good. Good to catch up with you guys after the draft here, and feeling pretty good about everything.
Yeah, this is the Coast to Coast Draft Spectacular.
Right.
All right. Well, we got a couple obvious things today. We are going over just some notes from the draft, obviously going through the Browns draft pick by pick, and then some of the crazy trades and where the NFL is left right now. Before we get started, are you guys drinking anything interesting today?
I am actually. I went with one of my favorite or my specialty Moscow mules I made. You've had one before, right, Chad?
Did I make you one?
Yes. Yeah, when you came over around Christmas. Awesome. But I want to rename them. I'd like to rename them to Moscow Dog in honor of my guy, my dog, Perrion Winfrey. Listen, this is 100%.
He's going to get popular real
this
quick.
This is 100% concentrate, no pulp in this one.
I cannot wait to get to that guy. He's going to be the most interesting person to cover.
Oh, he's got me. You want to talk about running through a brick wall? Yeah, he's got me fired up.
We were begging for him from the beginning of the draft.
And yeah.
Still got
yeah.
him.
Yeah, me and Dale were.
I said he was one of the most common people mocked to the Browns, either in the second or in some cases the third round. And I think you start reading about a guy because you keep hearing his name, you know, linked with your team, and then you start getting like real anxious. Like, now I need that guy because I've gotten myself attached.
I'm a big Senior Bowl guy, and he was the one that I was just blowing up your phones about after he won MVP. And just, I mean, he was all the buzz was on him, beating people up in practice all week, everything. So,
yeah, we talked a lot before the draft. There's really three big areas we thought this team wasn't quite ready to compete with the elites yet. And it was wide receiver, edge rusher, and then defensive line. So, you know, I think throughout the whole process, obviously that's not all you're getting, but that was where I think probably most of us did most of our reading. I think most of the draft analysts did most of their reading on those guys for the Browns too, because I just kept seeing him come up in mocks. And so that was definitely one of our three big areas. So we are going to get to each of the Browns picks, including WWE superstar Perrion Winfrey coming up pretty quickly. Do you guys want to go right into the Browns draft, or do you just want to cover some of the big draft stories first?
Yeah, we could touch some base on draft stories. What did you want to get into?
Yeah, just a couple quick things from the list, and then we'll get to the Browns, and we'll kind of fly from there. So the first thing I had wrote on my notes was Jacksonville Jaguars. Why did I write that? I barely remember. All I can think of is that.
I mean, they drafted a guy that had like four tackles and a couple sacks.
I think it was the least productive first round pick ever.
Like, what was really funny is, you know how they always go to the highlights after the pick? Like, his highlights were like, I don't know, like a lightly deflected pass and, I don't know, a tackle somewhere 5 yards downfield. It wasn't even like any like really big highlights. What I thought was really funny was right after that, I guess the Detroit Lions even got in trouble for turning in the card too fast for Hutchinson.
So I think the reason it was on there is exactly what you guys just said. I just looked at my little note, and it was because, unlike, and I don't love these, so don't take too much stock into them, but when I looked at the draft grades from like four different sources, they were like a D or F on a bunch of them, which is so hard to do because everybody's so optimistic about draft grades. But
So just a quick little, like, we're talking about the lack of production. So just to give a couple numbers. So Trevon Walker, his production is not why he was taken. 9.5 career sacks, 13 tackles for loss, and 65 tackles. Now that's 3 years. Hutchinson had two seasons where he had 68 and 62 tackles. So his entire Walker's entire career, he had his senior season. He had more than Walker's career TFLs at 16 and a half and more sacks. His senior Hutchinson senior year beats Walker's career production.
I'll say this too. I think, and I hate this because I've heard a ton about Trayvon Walker and I knew he was going to go pretty early. I mean, I knew he was going to be a top 10 pick somewhere. I definitely had Aiden Hutchinson locked in. And if he didn't go, I thought, is it Evan Neal? With my pick, if I'm trying to protect Trevor Lawrence, who is coming off of, you know, a pretty rough first season for one of the best prospects ever, I'm going with whoever I think is the top offensive tackle when I can get him. But when they didn't go that route, you got to wonder if they just went a little too far with the guy who super jumped his stock at the combine. You know, they say that all the time. And I think, no way stock jumps. These guys have been getting watched for 3, sometimes 4 years. But in this case, you wonder, wait, did this guy combine his way into the first pick in the draft?
And towards the end, I mean, everyone, most mocks had him going one because the Jaguar, I mean, it just, it was available information. So, but the thing all the kind of scouts and analysts are saying is, yeah, the production isn't there, but his athleticism and what he can do when you actually watch him, like kind of the bend he has, you hear that with the edge rushers, like,
of course,
getting low to the ground, like Von Miller style of play. Like it's a ceiling. It's a swing. Like you got the first pick, just you're going for a home run. Like Hutchinson, maybe he's the double or triple, but like you're swinging as hard as you can for Walker. So I am interested. Yeah. The Jags, I think the stat I heard from since 2014, I think this was on the Athletic pod, since 2014, the Jacksonville Jaguars, their first and second round picks, they have none of them on their team right now. Not one.
Wow.
So I hopefully it all works out and they can coach them up. But at least thus far, they have not shown the ability to coach people up. For my one,
well, last year,
I hope they've gotten this kind of shipwrighted, but
yeah, they didn't have very good coaching last year.
No, well, that, yeah. I think we can,
it came out again today too, that the worst, yeah, ever. Yeah. The owner was saying, you know, the guy couldn't be trusted. He was saying one thing and doing another. So that was just another thing that kind of came out, but all right, so moving on from the Jaguars, how long can we possibly cover them? The number two thing I had was Sauce Gardner, and I just – the only best reason nickname. I'm saying that – that's the best nickname, right? That's the only reason he's on this list.
It's the best one. It's not close.
Sauce Gardner is by far the best nickname that came out of this draft, so I just thought that that should be recognized before we move on. And quarterbacks have great nicknames a lot of times. You know, I love Greedy Williams is a great nickname. There's some cool cornerback nicknames. Sauce Gardner, that's a pretty dope nickname.
He got that when he was like 6 years old. And they asked him, he's like, I bring the sauce. I'm like, yes. Awesome.
So, did you guys have a biggest surprise of the draft or of the first round or anything? Just a huge surprise.
The Patriots pick was kind of funny. Taking the guy from, was it like UT Chattanooga?
I can never be surprised by the Patriots pick though. Like
I was going to say, I don't think Bill follows. He knows who he wants and he's going to get him regardless what some rankings tell him or what grade he's going to get. He doesn't care about that stuff.
I think the fun thing, the kind of pre-draft stuff around wide receivers was, hey, look at all these teams late that really need wide receivers. And then right in like the first third half of the draft, it just trade after trade after trade, all these teams kind of moving up, trying to jump each other to get the wide receiver that they wanted. So that was a pretty fun section of the draft there. What was it, like 11 through 50? It was somewhere in that range where we just had all those moves. It was interesting to see. I mean, the Saints moved up twice to grab a wide, right? I mean,
yeah, that one surprised me.
Which was that they moved like a month ago, which was weird, and then they moved up again.
So, the early move was weirder to me.
That was weird because for the Saints to make that aggressive move to get those two first round picks, I really thought it was for quarterback. I mean, you don't typically make that aggressive move for what they get, Olave and a lineman.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things was any of the draft like streams that I was either watching live or I actually went back and watched a few other places. My favorite thing was every single time there was a trade, everyone goes, "This is for Willis, isn't it? This is for Malik Willis." And that's kind of where my head was too. But it was just funny, like, oh, you don't do that unless it's for a quarterback. And I mean,
yeah,
it was just funny that it seemed like the teams actually did their homework around the quarterbacks and were smart and did the thing that, and they were able to control themselves. I did not expect that coming.
Except
that
for the Steelers
just covered,
actually helped themselves.
You guys kind of just covered my two biggest surprises. The number one surprise was that, you know, I'm so used to somebody reaching for a quarterback, even when all of the scouting reports ending the season all the way through the combine say, you know, these guys aren't really first rounders, or there's only one or two first rounders, or whatever they say, you know, coming out of the actual, we'll say, process of the season. I heard a lot that Pickett was the only first round receiver, quarterback, and anybody else could be kind of maybe a guy with the skills to develop into one. And that covered Corral, Ritter, Howell, and then Willis, of course, with his performance at the Senior Bowl, took a giant jump in the media coverage, at least. But you got to stick back
in fantasy.
To those. Yeah, so you got to stick back to those scouting reports. Noise. And you just wonder, like, you know, there's still a couple teams that needed a quarterback. It wasn't surprising that they didn't pick him in the first. What surprised me is when they fell to the second, no one cared. So all of these trades went on. All of these guys dropped to the second.
It seems like a lot of teams playing chicken. They're just
like who's going to take him? I don't want to. Maybe he'll be there later. And they were, all of them. After Pickett went, the second round came, and I was like, okay, well, the second round's here. This is where all of those guys who don't need a quarterback, or even maybe do need a quarterback, will think, I'm going to try to trade back or trade up just to get this guy, because at this point, he's a value. It's no longer a risk anymore. And no one did. It just didn't really happen.
And at the top of the second, there was a bunch of trades. Everyone's like, oh, here it is. It's a quarterback. It's a quarterback. And more wide receivers got taken.
Nope. Yeah, there's a little gap in the wide receivers. It felt like there was more than ever. There was tiers. There was like those first six guys that went in the first round, all pretty close together, like within nine picks or whatever. And then a huge gap. And then the second round, they started coming and they just went. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Speaking of wide receivers, though, one of the big wide receivers drafted this weekend was Hollywood Brown. Were you guys on that first round pick for Hollywood Brown in a third?
Yeah, it really plays out good now with Hopkins being suspended.
Doesn't it make you think they might have known?
Yeah, I guess.
They definitely did. But the funny thing to me was, so the Hollywood Brown thing was interesting. And I'm like, man, they like, at first I was like, they kind of overpaid a little bit. Like, it wasn't super great for someone who's been like hurt and pretty inconsistent. I mean, he crushed it the last, was like 5 or 6 weeks of the season. And then the AJ Brown trade happens and it was like, oh my God, Cardinals, what are you doing? Did you even call? Like,
yeah, no joke.
You gave up so much more for Hollywood Brown than AJ Brown went. And there were so many teams. I mean,
I would say the big difference is Hollywood Brown. Oh man, Brown, and that's tough to keep up with. So Hollywood Brown is still, I believe, under his original deal. So I wonder if his paycheck has something to do with it, because he's not very old.
I mean, AJ Brown was too. AJ Brown had another season. They just gave him the immediate deal.
Yeah, I thought he was looking for a restructure, though. Wasn't he looking?
Yeah.
To get, yeah. So
He was looking for the extension. He still had another year, the difference is he was a second round pick.
Yeah, so I think the difference was AJ Brown was looking for more money, and so the Titans said, pass, we'll go a different direction. And Hollywood Brown was looking for a trade specifically, like, I don't want to be here. And it might have put the Ravens in a position where they were like, well, let's shop him, like, let's actively shop him versus, you know, the other way around.
There has to be so many teams after that AJ Brown deal that were just like, would like the Commanders. Like, did you call the Titans? Because this AJ Brown deal had to be booked. It was before today. The only way they were going to do it is if Burks or another wide receiver they wanted were sitting there. Otherwise, it would have been done before. So it's just interesting to see other teams that took a wide receiver. Like, you got to be sitting there after the fact going, all we had to give up was like a first and a third. Like, oh, we screwed up.
Yeah. Oh, actually, they were both in the same draft. I didn't realize that. I thought.
Yeah.
Marquise Brown was 1 year younger, but I guess not. It seems like AJ Brown's just been so productive that it seems like he's been around so much longer.
He's just that much better, but
he's way better.
But Brown has been, he's just been so inconsistent that you don't hear his name as much.
Yeah. And that probably has part to do with the fact that their quarterback's not really a consistent passer, but still, I mean, that's the reason.
I mean, I would imagine AJ Brown has the potential to be like a top, like, four wide receiver in the league. There's 0% of the time that Hollywood turns into
Hollywood is.
Well,
right.
You know where I got to give Hollywood credit is, boy, did he keep it discreet and quiet that he wanted a trade. He even took his quarterback off, guard.
Yep. Yeah. He apparently did go to the front office and specifically say, hey, this is not the place for me. If you guys can find somebody that will trade for me, I would like a trade. So he made it a point to go to them and say he wanted a trade, and still nobody reported or knew about it. That's a huge point. On the opposite side, obviously, nobody wanted Baker. Did you guys find that strange at all?
I'm sorry. I forgot I was on mute. You know what? I did find it surprising and actually mildly upsetting, because I'm hanging on to him in my dynasty league.
Yeah.
But
that's impactful for you. I really did believe, like, deep down, I was like, after nobody picked a quarterback in the first round and a bunch of the teams that really kind of need a quarterback went tackle, I thought,
yeah,
I'll bet come around the second round, somebody's going
to
give
to
up
get a into that for him. I think what really got my hopes ups was watching Seattle draft in a way that told me we have Baker in mind. Like, they didn't draft a quarterback. They didn't even take a shot at one. Drafted O-line. It just really was coming across in Detroit too. And then Carolina to an extent. These are teams that were like making me believe, okay, these guys really have Baker in mind. Which brings me to my next question. What is his actual price? What are the Browns willing to pay of that cap? Like, are they really asking for a lot? Are they saying, hey, you got to take on like 12 of this? Or are they saying, I mean, there's something there that's really scaring people away. I can't figure out what it is.
It makes me think
that was all the Panthers talk, right? I mean, was it during the draft that they were just saying, look, the Browns and Panthers have been talking, but they can't agree on who's taking what part of the salary. And
I wish somebody could give us some idea of where the Browns are. Cause if the Panthers are saying, we'll give you a fifth round pick for Baker, but we want you to take, 14 of his, 18 million because we already have to pay Sam Darnold. I don't blame the Browns for being like, no. I mean, if we have to pay most of it anyway, we might as well just cross our fingers and hope the extra 4 million is not going to get them all that much. So I wouldn't blame them for that, but I wonder what the numbers are. I wonder if they're asking for something outrageous or if the other teams are just saying, we want you to pay pretty much all of this. And the Browns are saying,
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, at the end of the day, like, we're on the hook for that entire amount, whether he's on the team or not.
Right.
So at this point, like, yeah, it would be nice and kind of comforting to just like, I kind of end that chapter and it be over with. But you've talked before about, hey, he's rehabbing, he's hurt. Like, why are our teams super interested in that? So to me, it's not a huge hurry. I think there's still potential landing spots that make sense, but I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, like, something's going to shake out before the season. But if it doesn't, like, one of these teams are going to realize, like, they need a quarterback. Like, they need to.
I think I've been really stuck. I know Chip has been saying the Lions. Most people think Carolina is stuck on Seattle. My question is for Carolina. I was very surprised to hear that the team that was the closest that have been having the most talks was Carolina. Because all I can think in my head is Baker's $18 million, which means Darnold on his fifth-year option must be about $18 million. And to back that up, you know, I haven't heard a lot of the make-believe backlash that all of the teams are trying to stick it to the Browns by not taking Baker off of them. But if there's any one team I would mostly believe would be kind of pissed at the Browns for how they got Watson, I would think it was the Panthers, who were Watson's what appeared to be the number one option for him. And they basically said, you know, we don't want to restructure. And the Browns kind of jumped in and said, we will, and we'll actually even offer you more. And so if there's anybody who's going to be pissed and not want to help the Browns out, you think maybe it would be the Panthers being like, we're not doing that. I mean, and also, by the way, side note, I don't know if a lot of people know this. Ben McAdoo is their offensive coordinator now, right? Am I right on that?
Is he?
I'd have to look it up.
That sounds right, but I have not done my Panthers homework.
Yeah, so he's the offensive coordinator. They hired him this year. So he did an interview after he left I believe it was the Giants. And so nothing on the table, no reason. It got brought up the other day, and I looked it up and read it. He had Baker Mayfield as, like, his sixth quarterback in that draft, which is another reason I thought, I'm really surprised to hear the Panthers, who just hired this offensive coordinator, would consider Baker, knowing he doesn't like him. He had first Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Then I think he had.
This sounds like some huge action revisionist history.
No. This was a story that came out where he was
off to a good start there
after he got fired by the Giants, and they said, who did you know? You have what's his name? Daniel Jones, and they were talking about the draft, and he said, well, I'll just tell you, like, I don't really know what the Browns were thinking, because I had my number one was Josh Allen. I love Lamar Jackson. And then he had Josh Rosen and Darnold in some order. Then he had Mason Rudolph, he said, was my fifth. He's like, and then just after Mason Rudolph, around that territory, just after him, I would have taken Baker Mayfield. So you have to imagine, unless his mind got changed by Baker actually playing pretty decent above a lot of those guys in the NFL, maybe he changed his mind. But at that time, the after that draft, he was clearly not a Baker bro. Like, he was not on board. So thinking of that, I'm like, I am so surprised to hear how close the Panthers were even in this negotiation, because I thought I was kind of counting them out pretty early.
So why don't we do a quick little side bet here, like we always do with a few little things. Everyone pick a team. I'm taking Detroit Lions.
And that's still Seattle.
I'll tell you right now, John Dorsey works for the Lions. And think of this right now. No one's really thinking of the Hard Knocks stories. Wow. But
I haven't heard that. Nice pull there, Chip.
Yeah. And obviously, I don't think they're going to be sold on what's the quarterback's name? Goff. So, I mean, you know, and then the Hard Knocks stories
they're just stuck with him at a cost.
Right. Yeah. And the Hard Knocks stories would be so great. I think that the problem with the Lions right now is obviously they just want us to eat a majority of that cap. They want us to eat, you know, they probably want us to take on at least 10 to 12 million of it.
I mean, whoever picks up Baker, once we cut him, if we cut him, can get him for almost free. He's not going to cost anything now.
No, he'll be next year. He's playing on a 1-year deal. Like,
yeah, he's going to play. He's going to play on he's going to play on the Trubisky deal. He's going to sign a $4 million backup deal and hope he plays and shows something.
But the Lions are doing they're doing the smart thing, and they're essentially doing kind of what the Browns did too, where they are, they're building up the team. They know the quarterback is not it, and that's fine, but they're just building up the team. And when you have that opportunity to trade your net, like your life away for it, you get the quarterback.
Yeah.
You build up whoever you can to help support, and you have that team in place. And if someone's available, I mean, think about all the quarterbacks that changed, whether it was Watson, Russell Wilson, even Matt Ryan. I mean, a lot of these things are intertwined, but like the Colts just walked away from Carson Wentz. They're just like, bye, like get out of here. They're like, who's going to play quarterback? I don't know, but you have to leave.
Yeah.
Like, and Denver just kept, I mean, they drafted, like they just keep drafting the best player available. They're not chasing after it because, look, if something happens, we need to be in a position to attract a talented quarterback.
Right.
And if it works through the draft, it does, great. If not, like, and we can scoop someone up, like we have to be in a place someone wants to play. And so the Lions are putting themselves in good position. I would probably lead Seattle as well, but just for the sake of it, I guess I'll go Falcons.
Okay.
I know they.
I mean,
I know
not
they
an unreasonable guess. Boy,
wait, but, you're taking Falcons and they just took Ritter?
What?
I mean, in
did they take him in
third
the first
or fourth round? Yeah, they're not going to pay him like $800,000 a year.
Ritter's my favorite quarterback in his class.
Except for the Steelers, all the other teams that took a quarterback are whatever. Like the Commanders, yeah. Like
once
congrats,
you pass the second round, like the guy you picked, you could just drop and nobody.
But
would
Ritter,
notice.
Ritter promised a Super Bowl.
That's true. That's true.
So,
yeah, so well, we'll see. I don't want to. I'm just aching to get to the draft, so we better get on to that. How do you guys want to do this? You guys just want to get run pick by pick?
Yeah, I guess run through pick,
this
pick outline by pick.
So long ago, maybe you guys can help me with this. I listed this as Greg Newsom draft, and it was because there's three players in this draft that are somehow like linked or impacted with or by Greg Newsom, which was really like, I just thought it was kind of weird. And, you know, I kind of forget one of them. I wrote that and I thought, yeah, I'm definitely going to remember this.
That's funny. I didn't know that. I heard Perrion Winfrey, and that's because I heard it in his statement, but I didn't know any other two.
Yeah. So there's two more, and actually sort of, there could be three, but I can't quite remember. So we'll see as we go, what we come up with. So number one. So first of all, and just off the top of your head, now that the dust has settled, how are you feeling about pick number 44?
Better. I've calmed down. I think passing on Moore and George Pickens, I felt like, to me, I just felt like receivers of those calibers are instant number twos that I'm comfortable with. But you know, I also just had my heart set at a receiver at 44 and I was a little taken there, but as I really got to know David Bell and look at the draft, I'm really coming around to it. And I know that's my biased Browns opinion, but, it is looking good to me. And if you think about the depth is what we really needed in special teams, not just our kicker, but like, you know, just special teams players and depth. I think we addressed all that really well. We didn't really have that many holes. So we still have free agents that are out there we can address them with too.
Okay, yeah, the big thing with this draft was the highs aren't that high, but there's some depth. And I think most teams we had heard had between like 16 and 18 or 20 guys rated as like a round one guy. So knowing that, I mean, it really seems like after that, I mean, the Vikings did this and it seemed like in a lot of cases, they lost a lot of value trading down, like giving up pretty good deals. But it seemed like overall the NFL like viewed all of these guys like pretty interchangeable, pretty much the same. I mean, So to see, I mean, yeah, right around that pick. So we had Wandale went before Mechie. I actually really hated that the pick after ours, the Ravens got Ajabo. I mean, I think that was
we talked a guy a little about that in the last podcast.
We had talked about him before. So aside from that, I mean, Pickens to the Steelers, I agree, Chip. Like, I thought he was a little more raw from what I've kind of read and seen, and then I don't know if anyone has watched the video of him getting selected. If you haven't,
he might have just please, you know what though? We might be reading too much of that. He's also just a goofball, man. That's just his character. He's
But that was his. The video is hilarious. Just watch it to watch it.
It's funny. That was the thing. He looks like looks like a frozen video game character, like a glitch in a video game.
But the reason like I really thought we would like him is because he's also a dog. He's a dog in the run game too. He's a run blocker and a half, man. People don't talk about that enough. And I thought that was right up Stefanski's alley.
It was tough to see that big run on wide receivers there, though. Mm-hmm. Mechie and Wandale, I wasn't, but then past us was Pickens, Pierce, and I mean, I wanted Sky Moore there just all the way.
So like, bad, right?
Full send Sky Moore, like, let's go.
When Wandale got picked, I wasn't a giant Mechie fan either, and Wandale was off the board, but I was such a huge Sky Moore, and I also really liked Alec Pierce. And Pickens to me was a flyer. Where I came off Pickens was when I started reading that little report that came out like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Seems
that
like
some of his own coaches were saying, like, I would never draft this guy.
Yeah.
That's a huge red flag to me when like one of, and they didn't name names. They just said there was two coaches on the staff that talked up his physical ability, his intensity, and both of them ended with like, but he is a huge like issue for a team, or the one guy just quoted, but I wouldn't draft him. And for me, that's like,
and you know what's unfortunate is he literally went to the best possible place that has consistently dealt with problem freak children. Athlete, phenomenal wide big
personalities
who might just be nut jobs and keep it under wraps for years.
Like, yep, they were able to do it with Antonio Brown. Nobody even knew he was a nutcase until he left. And it was like, oh my God, has this psychopath been acting like this in the locker room this whole time?
Like, and he's not the only, it was years ago, but you had like Young Money crew, like all those guys.
Yeah, there's been a bunch.
Not that they were all like weirdos or anything like that, but yeah, the trade down was a bummer, especially when we kind of weren't looking at it from like
somebody's cat getting upset.
Whiskey is screaming.
I was gonna say I don't have one of those yet. So
okay, be quiet.
Someone's in heat.
I'm doing my podcast. Whiskey. Yeah, sorry about that. That's some neighbor's cat or something.
Well, I'm sorry, Dale. What were you saying?
No. I think we kind of wrapped up 44 there. If you wanna,
yeah. So
yeah, why don't we just jump into our first pick then? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was pretty disappointed. I really just thought, like everybody else, I think most of it's like I look at these guys. I love Drake Jackson at the end. I love Sky Moore. The fact that they're both sitting on the board makes you like almost like a little resentful that you spent all that time learning these guys. And then they don't pan out, and you're like, well, son of a gun, like, shoot. And then also, you're ready to make your pick, man. We didn't have a first-round pick. I was ready to pick.
You know what, Jed, funny that you say that, because that's another good point. I mean, we selfishly just want a darn pick.
Right? I just want to pick.
Sitting here, man, we've been studying for the last 3 months. I'm like, pick somebody.
I'm at the Browns bar. We all got together for it. There was like two guys that had to leave. They're like, we got to go, but we can stay for a couple hours. And it's like, well, good luck staying because the Browns aren't picking for two more hours now. Ugh. It's kind of a jerk move. I'm just saying it was kind of a dick move. But
well, my favorite thing was that the article about, well, now that the Browns have traded away all their firsts, this is a pretty big hindrance to the local mock draft scene. And it's unfortunately something we've dealt with all of our adult lives, that the draft is a really, really, really big deal.
Right. Yeah.
To us and probably the Jaguars and Jets, but like, it's a big deal. We want those guys.
Yeah.
And it's a hard habit to break as opposed to like Steelers fans who are like, oh man. Yeah. I love those guys in the high 20s. It's like, yeah. And congrats. You got a great one. Like Steelers and Ravens just grabbing guys as we're like sighing going, oh, of course they went there.
All right. Well, let's go into our first pick here. So at number one, we finally get on the clock, number 68, and they call cornerback. And I was like, I mean, were you guys just immediately floored? Cornerback?
I was, because at the time we still had Troy Hill too, so we had such a deep cornerback room at the time. But the news with trading Troy Hill obviously helps that. I also think this dude is going to be one heck of a special teams player. Big dude, 6'2", 201 pounds. I don't know.
Martin Emerson. What school did he come from? Was it Mississippi State?
Yes, Mississippi State. Hometown, Pensacola, Florida. I love Pensacola. It's where I was trained in the Navy.
Not a lot of like PBUs and IMTs, but it seems like he's a really good tackler. And
hard hitter.
If we haven't learned anything yet about Barry, is early declares, age adjusted breakout, like those are the guys he's going for. And he definitely fits kind of that build.
I will say some of the things that scared me about him. Now I love his size and his physicality that you mentioned, all great traits. There are some tapes that I saw where he was getting burned a lot. And also, he has a tendency to reach out and grab a jersey when he panics.
I do not see him on the outside. He's not going to be a man coverage one-on-one. I don't see him being placed there.
Right. But when he can be physical up front, I think he's awesome.
I like him on the line. I like him kind of nickel, covering slot guys. Like, that to me makes sense, which is good because we just spent a lot of money on a cornerback and I think we're good on the other side as well. So it shows their emphasis on defense.
And don't forget, you know, we love to forget players on this roster, but we have Greedy too, who obviously had a nice year last year and could improve on that this year.
Yeah. When Greedy's healthy, he's pretty darn good. And you know, it kind of fits out the room. The nice thing about these guys is what you said earlier, they are special teamers also. Which is kind of, you know, an area of need for us for sure. And, you know, they can get on the field pretty early. They can dress pretty early because they can do that kind of stuff. So I get the fit. He's the biggest cornerback we have on our team now immediately. And although we have a bunch of decent cornerbacks who can do a lot, we have a cornerback now that you can pop in to cover, you know, a big boy receiver or tight ends. And I don't think he's necessarily a developmental prospect, although he's got time because we have three plus other receivers on this team that can do something. I know AJ Green, had been our biggest receiver previously. And this guy is, and he's really worked out, but this guy's obviously a lot higher touted than him. Despite the fact that he wasn't, you know, like everybody's crazy top pick. It was more of a surprise, but he can do something some of the other guys can't do. So,
yeah, that's that reminds me of an old Mike Lombardi kind of quote saying or philosophy where he's like, look, when you're building out a wide receiver or a cornerback room, those two rooms, like you need to think about it like a basketball team. Like, you need to have guys that play different positions. You need to have guys that have different body types who can match up differently and can handle different things. And that makes perfect sense where, mm-hmm. hey, depending on who we're playing, it doesn't help if we have a bunch of guys who are 5'9 and run 4.4s if they're just going to get bodied
right
there. And so to have that flexibility with a bigger guy. He's got long arms too, over 33 and a half arms. Like, there's offensive tackles that were getting drafted this year that have shorter arms than him, which is insane. So I do like that it gives us flexibility. And I think it's one of those things that we have to remember. It was our first pick, but it wasn't a first round pick. So,
right. I think that's what a lot of people were like, really? I mean, if we had drafted in the first round and got a receiver and drafted in the second round and got a pass rusher, and then in the third round we grabbed a cornerback, everybody would have thought, that's a great little flyer in a third round. That's a really important position. But I think the anticipation of ready, here comes our first pick, and it being Martin Emerson threw people off.
And to a point that Dale made in the group text, actually, if I'm thinking that they ever are drafting players with like the division in mind, I wonder if like he's a really good matchup on like a Mark Andrews or something, you know, because he's so big and physical, he can actually start covering tight ends that actually play a lot in the pass game, or, you know, just the bigger, slower type guys is where I see him covering.
Who loved him the most was I had a thing on there from CBS Sports, and they have a pretty good draft team. And they were really high on him, their group. And they not only had him, I think, ranked a little higher than some of the other corners, they thought he fits kind of the versatility and the toughness that kind of jumps into this room and makes an immediate impact. And so I was a little bit more reassured by that. Brian Wilson was another guy who came on the radio and did an interview and said, hey, I had him mocked to the Browns at one point in the third round, and I just didn't know what would end up being their first pick. It's not exactly where I had him, but I did have him there. So, on board. The next guy is a guy I actually was really excited about. That is pick number 78, Alex Wright. And he is going to play basically this backup edge rusher and possibly even be able to slide in and play a little bit of more of an interior rush role. So I don't know what you guys thought about this guy, but this was actually a pretty exciting pick for me, because I think this guy is just an athletic freak that already has a little bit of game to him, but has a ton of potential. And two things. One, you know, the fact that we didn't stay in the second round, or even with our first pick in the third round, draft a defensive end or an edge rusher, I should say, makes me think, man, they got to feel pretty confident they're bringing back Jadeveon Clowney. So I know I've been saying not to do this the whole time because he's not actually on the team, but I'm kind of going off the idea that I'm thinking they must feel pretty confident he's coming back if they didn't make this a higher in the draft priority, because guys were there. And at that role as a backup to him, because he shares a little bit of that game, I feel pretty excited about what this kid may be able to develop into.
Yeah, and real quick about Jadeveon Clowney. Chad, you used to tease me, but I never really considered him off the team the whole year.
Yeah, I know. I kept saying, like, don't consider him here for sure.
I just kept referring to him as a player on the team.
Yeah, but this draft actually made me feel more like, you know, no other teams have grabbed him yet.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have filled that position. The draft happens, and a ton of guys drafted that position. I just have to think, you know, there's got to be talks going. They got to feel pretty, at least confident they're going to get him to work this draft the way they did, because there were so many edge rushers going in the first two rounds, and they had a shot to get several of them. You know, like I said, I said right away I liked Drake Jackson, and he, you know, was there. He would have been there at 44. He would have been there even with a small trade back.
Five edge rushers taken right after 44
that
we backed out of. In just in the second alone, there was five edge.
So some facts about Alex Wright, though, that were exciting to me. He was a high school wide receiver. And then at about 210 pounds when he graduated high school, he was recruited to play there. UAB?
UAB.
University of Alabama, Birmingham. He was recruited to play tight end.
That's right.
He was about 210 pounds. And they said, you know, you're a little big. You don't have quite the wide receiver speed. Let's do tight end. And then in camp, they converted him to a defensive end to rush the passer, which means you got to know his athletic profile. Like crazy. Dale just mentioned on Martin Emerson, this is starting to look like a trend. Martin Emerson had 33 inch arms and I believe like 11 inch hands. And that is huge. And then Alex Wright, I can't remember the hand size, good hand size, really, really long arms. And, you know, you're thinking at defensive positions, you want to be able to get your arms up. You want to be able to get around guys. You want to be able to tackle. He's another guy with just that really, long frame.
34 inch arms and 9 1/4 hands. For 9 1/4 hands, I would actually take as pretty small for a guy his size. But the 34 inch arms.
The arm length is big.
Yeah, the arm length.
The arm length is big. So they're looking, can this guy disrupt? Can he get his hands on the quarterback or get his arms up to swat at passes? You know, and with him playing wide receiver and tight end in the past, you know, he's probably a little more agile than some of the defensive ends coming in. So if he can, if he can kind of hone that skill. This is an athletic freak player.
Well, one thing that kind of jumps out at me I don't like is I'm looking at his bench press. It's 15. Maybe I'm overanalyzing that. But, I mean, heck, I know little receivers that can throw up 15 reps.
That one's interesting. I did see that. One of the – to go back to hopefully the positives. he played 3 of 14 games his freshman year. He was all-conference – or he was all freshman team for Conference USA. He only started 3 games. So he had played more. He had like 4.5 sacks, 8.5 TFLs, 20 tackles. Like he started out hot and got better. So I've seen some clips. Chip and I were talking kind of pre-show. I've seen clips where he just like mauled guys to the ground and were diving and taking out quarterbacks like midair. Just, I'm interested to see what we can, like what he can be once he gets like coached up.
Yeah. I didn't have much more on him except for that PFF basically had him in the 90th percentile of pretty much every major category. PFF
was really high on him. I noticed that was like, I've seen some, like you mentioned, discrepancies and scout ranking type things, but he was definitely up there for PFF specifically.
Yeah, they basically just said the way they do their rankings, you know, they're kind of looking at what categories he does well in, and he finished in the 90th percentile or higher in what they consider all of their, like, major categories. So in run-stop rate, in win rate against his tackle, in pressure rate, and so they're not the type to count sacks. They're looking at like win rate, mm-hmm. in all these different categories.
Yeah,
and they said he was 90th percentile for all of them last year, which was rare because different people have their strengths. So
yeah,
you guys know my feeling on PFF
all around.
Yeah, it just shows, you know, I mean, it just shows an athletic profile. And somebody did bring up the point. He was not playing the greatest competition on the planet, but still to finish that high in everything at that size, and it's pretty good. So, okay. And then number 3 on that first day, Chip already mentioned him, 99th pick David Bell. This was – I forgot to get to that. This was – the first pick, Emerson, Martin Emerson, kind of is somebody that might actually shift Greg Newsom into the slot if he gets pretty good for covering large corners. This pick, David Bell, was somebody Greg Newsom actually covered. And I think Alex Wright, the connection was they have somehow known each other since high school. And I just thought, what a
That's cool.
Weird collection.
I hadn't heard that.
And then we'll get on to Perrion Winfrey already. You guys mentioned that they already have a relationship and have been texting back and forth. And I just thought, what an odd thing for Greg Newsom to be related to all of them. But in this particular case with David Bell, the cool thing was Greg Newsom had covered him and had said previously, even before the pick, that this kid was one of the hardest people he covered through his college career because of how technically sound he is and how well he runs a route. And I think that has got to be the main, right?
Yeah, that's really good to know. I know Brian Hartline was a big advocate for him as well.
Yeah, Brian was saying something in the third round, like, if you need a receiver, you better trade up quick and get David Bell. And that was his tweet,
you know, around the really mid-third round. I'm really excited to see him out there. He strikes me as a guy that he's going to have like 8 to 10 catches for like, you know, 80, 90 yards, mm-hmm. but no touchdowns kind of guy. Like, maybe I feel like he's going to be maybe the kind
like
of guy.
Eight catches for like 64 yards. I
yeah,
see that.
Yeah. He could really be digging us out of some ruts, but I don't know if he's like our big home run hitter. But that's, yeah. You know what? Sometimes that's what you really need. That's a guy that's digging you out when you need someone to. And I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Yeah. I think the big thing too with him is that like, it seems very much like this. So you pick these guys in the second round, and we talked about them, like Menchie could be a stud, could not, could fizzle. Christian Watson could be a stud, could have some issues. I feel as if this pick is one where we don't, none of us really believe his destiny is to be a stud, but also it didn't seem like anybody thought he was going to fizzle. Everybody sort of thinks he can step right in as a
I'd say this,
slot
Chad,
receiver.
He might not be a stud. He might not be a stud, but he's a necessity.
Yeah, could be. He's going to be somebody that doesn't seem like he's going to fail. He seems very steady. His skill set is very defined. And despite the speed, which was disappointing, he ran, for people that don't know, in the 4.6s and then even some in the 4.7s.
Oh, by the way, Cooper Kupp ran like a 4.7.
Yeah.
The 40 is not always the biggest, but the one thing it makes me – we kind of go back to the conversation we just had around, well, now that we have Alex Wright, that might be a good sign. We have Jadeveon Clowney back. To me, even though it's another 21 picks later, us taking David Bell means that we are not getting Jarvis Landry back.
I agree because I saw a scouting report that specifically said David Bell is like a slightly faster version of Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Less accomplished, obviously, in college. Not that he wasn't very accomplished, but he didn't go to his big time of a school for football. He didn't come out quite with the buzz, but he did disappoint on that 40, just like Jarvis, and it kind of dropped him. And we saw what Jarvis was able to do. He's just a really good route runner, a tough player, a physical guy. He knows how to get open. He catches everything. David Bell's drop percentage was 4%, which means 4% of the times he was targeted, he had a drop. That's phenomenal. And another big hand guy who I think, dropped because he doesn't have boom potential and people want the boom wide receiver in those first two rounds.
But it fell to us. Yeah, to me, that signals like where we traded out of 44 and we wait all the way to 99. We take two picks after 44 before Bell. Like, to me, that tells me like they have a plan, and I don't think we're bringing anyone else in. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe based on the guys,
I wouldn't be surprised. Here's the thing.
This keeps the door open for a fast receiver. I think still
like a Will Fuller,
but a cheap
still.
One. Yeah. Like Will Fuller, somebody cheap.
But I think it really depends on.
Come on.
I think
Will Fuller's 30 years old and has been injured the last like 6 years. Like,
he just turned 28. But I think that it really depends on whether or not we can move.
Chip just made a third round trade for Will Fuller in our dynasty team in our league. So
I think that's a steal of a third rounder,
which is a great trade.
At third round, you're rolling dice at third round. The best thing you could do in a third round is try to take a gamble on a tight end.
I'm holding on to him in other leagues. I'm not shitting on you there. But
he could wind up somewhere good. But I don't want to get into that. What I wanted to say, and now I forgot. What was I going to say?
Something about Anthony Schwartz, something like really nice about him just learning
the
wide receiver.
Well, what you were talking about was that he
year two breakout,
he still has some
speed.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
you'll think
know.
Of it. You'll think of it. So listen, at 108, I don't disagree. Will Fuller, I say his name not because he's necessarily fast, but because he's a speedy receiver that I think will come cheap. And I think you still have room and money on the roster for that person. But I agree completely with Dale. I think Jarvis.
I know what I was going to say. I know what I was going to say.
Jarvis's spot with someone younger and with a little more upside.
I think a lot of the signings, like Will Fuller or some of the other signings, do you think that they could be delayed based on whether or not we can move Baker and get that salary cap back?
Maybe.
So, yes and no, because here's the thing. We have, I think it's, was it 16 or 18 with Baker? Like, the amount of cap space, if we actually got rid of the Baker contract in full, it's really impressive for who we already have on our team. And that has to do with what we talked about last episode, how Barry structures these contracts in their first year. Huge signing bonuses, low rate incentives, blah, blah, blah. So
for the record, we currently have $28 million is it now. That high? And I believe, I don't know if this is counting Austin Hooper, whose money doesn't come back to us until June.
It might.
So is that high or higher?
I thought it was basically like we had 16 and we could get, or 16 or 18 and we could get another 18 without Baker. But regardless, like, we have a lot of cap space. And besides Clowney, I think we all agree Jarvis is like gone.
I think so. I think it's
Fuller. I do like Fuller. I definitely like him as a downfield. I don't know if I'm buying the speed anymore, but like
maybe not. But there's definitely chemistry with Deshaun Watson.
That helps. Bringing in another guy, especially with all the changes that have taken place. Oh, God, this season,
I forgot about that. Helps. That was so long ago.
It seems it, but it's
they had a couple great years together.
Oh no, they did, and it was erased from my mind because.
Enough for him to get a huge contract with Miami before he never played again. All right. Well, so I just had a quick list of some other guys, and you brought one of them up already, Chip, who were guys that people said basically dropped because they were higher ranked, more productive, but then they ran that 40 and it was 4-6 or lower. And the guys that popped up right away were Jarvis Landry, Anquan Boldin, Allen Robinson, and Cooper Kupp. And so I'm just saying, don't count him out. Obviously, he's not. I hope he becomes any of those guys. But you can play receiver for a long time at a high level without elite speed. You're just a different receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So next pick, with the 108th pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select Perrion Winfrey.
Duh. And Dale and I could finally sleep at night. Let me tell you, before that happened, Dale and I were up late, worried, texting. We wanted Perrion Winfrey.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, Chip, you were freaking out. Like, if Andrew Berry doesn't draft me Perrion Winfrey, I will go to Berea. Like, you were like on.
Oh, God. I was on pins and needles.
I'm going to give myself some props here. I did say, I'll bet they're going to pull some kind of crap to make everybody look stupid and somehow pull him in the fourth round. And I was definitely tongue in cheek there. I was, please pick him late in the third round somewhere. And then they did pick him in the fourth round. I was like, oh, my God.
It was great.
They got him.
It was great that we all won. So. During the Senior Bowl, you guys are like, what is going on? I'm just like blasting you with like highlights and stats and practice notes about a guy during the Reese's Senior Bowl. And just kind of forgot about it, but still I'm like, oh, I wonder where he's going to go. And then with all the draft like news and grades and rankings, I was just really surprised to not see, because the big talk during the Senior Bowl was like, hey, this is like a first round guy. And this was before our trade. So I'm like, oh man, like mid round, like this is like,
I knew he wasn't phenomenal. Going first round.
It's exactly.
Guys do not like linemen. It's weird. The NFL does not care for linemen.
And then like everything happened with Watson. Like it was kind of back of mind, everything. And then the draft is coming and Chip and I are getting excited and you're nailing it going, hey, it's not that big of a position. Like the value, it's just not that high.
Guys don't like it. I mean,
and
it's going to be a steal because of that. It's going
to
be a steal.
it makes sense to what he can do and what his specialty is and what value he adds. Like, I get it. It makes sense. So it was just kind of funny for all of us to have, like, not really different takes, but ended up at the same place where, like, this could be a big deal, a great value, but also understand that the NFL does not value that position and his skills
inside defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's not a huge run guy. Like, that's
meanwhile,
it.
Someone of that position was just the Super Bowl MVP.
That's right, of course, right.
So it's funny.
It's an important position if the guy is really, really good.
Pick.
But people, I think what happens is much like running back. I mean, running back didn't even go in the first round this year. Much like running back, much like, you know, inside linebackers, they don't go early. Fullbacks don't even go at all anymore.
Guards.
I think it's one of those things where you kind of, these teams mock out who they think other teams are going, and they try to get intel on that. And I think the word gets around, like, okay, nobody's picking these linebackers, running backs, tight ends, interior defensive linemen early. So we need to fight for these other positions and then get those guys later. The run on those guys goes later. Just like you said in our fantasy league, Chip, you said, you know, it's good for third rounders taking a flyer on a tight end. We all know that. So even if you think one tight end is great, you're not picking him in the first or second round because you know nobody else is. So you're just waiting until somewhere in the third round and you're hoping a run doesn't come before your pick. And that's where you take the tight end you actually like, because you know
right.
no one else is taking him, right? And I get the feeling with interior linemen, that's becoming that position.
I'll spill my other third rounder on there. wait, what's his first name? Ross from Clemson. Justin Ross?
Oh, you were big in Justin. I mean, wow, what a great landing spot he fell to. Everyone, I mean, he was very well expected to go – that, like, he was all over the board. His freshman year, he would have went in the first round if they let him.
Yeah, the only reason he fell so hard is because the mystery of his spinal surgery.
His injury, yeah. Didn't they remove a vertebrae?
Something about two combined, I thought I heard.
I wish I knew this. I have no idea this story, or else I would be all over it.
So he has a very, like, incredibly rare genetic disorder that, like, fuses two of your vertebrae. I don't know how it picks two. It does. Not a doctor. And so they had surgery, and from what I read, I believe that they had actually removed a, does removing a vertebrae sound right? It doesn't sound right to me.
It doesn't sound right to me at all.
So maybe there was something with detaching the two. I don't know.
Undergoes spinal surgery for, and I'm probably going to butcher these words because I'm uneducated, congenital fusion?
Congenital fusion, yeah. Yep. Congenital fusion.
That's what I said.
So basically of his vertebrae accidentally grew together instead of being separate between the disc like they're all supposed to be. So they probably had to go in and break them apart and separate them. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, so that was the
I did not hear that.
That was, like, the big thing on him, but he had, like, medically retired from football and then came back.
Wow. Okay.
And
he said he was just a shell of himself, though. Like, he didn't look or run like he used to, too.
Yeah. Oh no. His, like, times were really worse or everything, but it was one of those things where he had a huge bowl game, like, just insane freshman year. And if it was like a one and done league, he was a first round pick.
Yeah, I could tell you this. He was a 5-star recruit. So if I had like a third or fourth
5-star and a first,
if I had a third or fourth round pick in this draft, Chad or Dale, whoever has, I would take a flyer on him and throw him in the taxi slot and forget about it until you never know. Cause you never know.
I don't, but no, I completely agree. Cause I looked at that immediately. Like, okay. Like let's see, because you're going to figure out by like if he makes the team, like, you might have something. If he doesn't, oh, okay. Well, whatever. Who cares?
All right. We are on room for you guys are not giving the respect he deserves as
Dude, don't make Brown's me feel bad. Oh, player. Now you're breaking my heart.
Like you're like, hey, Chip's like, I want to talk about this guy's spine for a while. Listen to this. First of all, Perrion Winfrey, WWE superstar. If you guys listening haven't listened to his phone calls, his conference calls, or his press conferences, Chip is right. There is no
Chad, it's my alarm clock. That's my new alarm clock sound. Really? I wake up every morning.
He's gonna redefine the dog pound. Michael Myers
thigh pads. He has a Michael Myers tattoo.
So yeah, he's super, super into Halloween. So I gotta tell you, they asked him like everybody does in every conference call. So you were probably in touch with the Browns, the coaches, you know, did you have a feeling they were finally coming up to get you? And he straight up answered, no, I didn't even have visits with the Browns. I didn't have barely any interactions. I didn't have any extended talks with them. I had like, I was not suspecting, you know, a lot of teams seemed very interested. The Browns, I didn't really suspect would be one of the teams taking me. He's like, but I'm so grateful they did, and I'm going to make everybody who didn't pay. Like, he's that guy. He's like, I'm going to, you know, crush everybody's neck, and I'm just going to come at it every day.
He gets me so fired up.
I know, and they talked to Joe Thomas and on the radio, and I think it was on – I think it was – it might have been Lima and what's his name? Help me out, Chip.
Lima Ken Carman. Likes it was Ken Carman.
It was Ken Carman and Lima. And they're like, come on, is this too cheesy for NFL players? And Joe Thomas was like, no, honestly, veteran players are in a lull. Young players are ready to get fired up. If this guy comes in a locker room like that, everyone is going to love it because it's going to be like so, so fiery and entertaining.
Yeah.
And they're just going to go with it. And man, I'm excited. This guy's motor is awesome. He has some red flags, obviously. His production is not what it should have been. But he almost seems like this weird case where he got into the process, got to the Senior Bowl, and something just clicked. Like, he got around NFL coaches, well, and was like, you aren't living up to your potential. Yeah, you better get going.
I was watching some of his tape. He was getting double-teamed a lot. I mean, I don't know how much gets factored into scores and stuff, but it looked to me like he was getting double-teamed every highlight I saw.
Yeah, and don't get it twisted. Like, PFF had good scores on him. It wasn't like, this guy doesn't score well. It's just... you know, he was not – somebody said if he came out of college a year ago, he played so well the year before, just like what Dale said, he would have been a really early pick. And things, like, just didn't happen for him this year, so people start to think –
well, right. I mean, that's just like Isaiah Spiller. I mean, did they really have a drop-off in talent, or did teams just catch on and go, maybe we should play –
Spiller got wrecked by the draft. He should have just called in sick.
Well, maybe I think what happened is
the combine. He should have not gone to the combine.
Yeah, people might be reading into that. But what I'm trying to tell you is what I think happens is you have these really good years early, and then teams are like, oh, this guy's good. Let's game plan on him. And then guess what happens? Yeah. You don't have as great of footage.
Yeah, could be. But Perrion Winfrey's athletic. He's exciting. Man, the guy's as fiery as I've ever seen a player come in with, and I, for one, can't wait to see him. On a related note, 124, another just amazing, fiery, athletic beast coming in. Place kicker, Cade York.
Cade York. But here, okay, so here's what's really great, and I don't know if you guys listen to RBS like I do daily, they hooked him up with Phil Dawson. He's got his number. And supposedly they're going to get in touch and work together and learn the secrets of kicking in Cleveland.
That's awesome. Sure. I mean, I think, you know, he's a much more highly touted player than Phil Dawson, but Phil Dawson was one of those guys that turned into a pro. And man, the guy didn't miss for like 18 years. He was just awesome. And he played so long and he was so steady and he was kicking in the worst environment ever when the Browns were terrible. And at one point he was our entire scoring offense. So that's good. Get him kicked. Good to get him hooked up with somebody that played in some weather. You know, Cade York obviously did not, but there was some positive.
No,
everybody saw the highlights of that fog game, right?
The Florida 2020 against Florida.
He said specifically,
the biggest leg out of the draft.
Yeah, he's like, weather wasn't a problem. Like, the wind wasn't blowing. It wasn't freezing cold. He's like, the problem was I couldn't see the goalpost, so I was just guessing. So that's what makes that such a legendary kick. And even in the highlights, you don't see the goalpost. He just kicks it, and then you hear it's good. Jerod Cherry, asked.
He got has the three longest field goals in LSU history.
Yeah, 57 was one of them, right?
Yeah, that was his career long, and he's 15 of 19 from 50 plus from college. Like, that's
which, insane. By the way, if you're in the NFL and you have that, you're an all-star kicker. That's awesome.
And so if that's one of your few positional needs, it's not reaching in the fourth. I'm not going to sit here and be frustrated.
I'm also going to say, with you, Chip, I'm also going to say it's not reaching because there was a fourth round grade on him everywhere you looked. And one place, I think it was CBS, had a third round grade on him. So it's not reaching. Everybody thought, you know, if you're going to get this kid, he's going to, you better.
And I'm not, once,
he's not going to be there.
Once you get past those like really tight first, second round guys,
after 100 picks.
Yeah. I'm big on just take what you need. Take guys that will
several
start
picks.
For you.
They had a part, you know, part of the reason the Browns came out and straight up said, we took that trade down. They wanted a lot of picks. They wanted to fill depth roles on this team. And I think we can all agree this team is not in need of many starters. They could use a Jadeveon Clowney. And right now, they could use a more proven wide receiver, Amari Cooper. And I'm not saying some of the other guys won't develop into that. They could use a more proven guy next to Amari Cooper. Otherwise, we know the starter at every single position on this team. And we probably know their backup because he's still on this roster in some positions like running back. And cornerback, we're too deep. We have almost probably too many guys to make the team. So getting just a bunch of young developmental depth for when some of these guys move on or contracts are due is a smart idea. And getting a guy who, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals drafted a kicker last year. And besides Joe Burrow, I could make the argument he was the most important player on their team through the end of the season and their playoff run. They won like 7 games by a kick. And so this was a good pick by them. I haven't seen any criticisms.
Cade was ranked higher than McPherson.
Correct.
And I don't know if you guys saw this. I think it was today they announced he will not have camp competition.
Yeah, they actually already dropped McLaughlin, which is a shame.
Is it though?
They cut him. So they said
draft earnings and money and life.
And did you see Kevin Stefanski? They asked about it and he's like, look, we drafted a kicker in the fourth round. That's our starting kicker. Obviously he's like, it's, you know, it's why didn't you keep him in a competition? He's like we draft him in the fourth round. He's clearly the guy that we think is our kicker. He's like, of course you want somebody on deck in case there's an injury. He's like, but there's not really a need for composition. We drafted him to start. Gerard, I was saying earlier, was interviewing him on the post-draft press conference and asked him if he had a winter coat. He's like, you're from LSU, Baton Rouge. You played most of your games in good weather. Do you even have a winter coat? And he said, you know, I don't have a Cleveland level winter coat, but I don't know if you guys just saw where I was drafted, but I now have the money to buy one. That's the least of my worries. And I just thought that was kind of a fun answer. He's like, I definitely have the money for a winter coat now. I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about the weather there. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, we're all excited. It'll be if he, you know, he doesn't have to have like the personality of the kicker that just walked into Cincinnati. But if he can make these kicks consistently like he did in college, man, is that a piece you don't have to worry about for a long time? So let's hope. Moving on, we got to probably fly through some of these bottom ones because we've been going for a while. Who knew we could talk this much about a team that didn't have a first or second round pick, basically. So 156, we brought in Jerome Ford. This may have been my most surprising pick, even with us picking a cornerback with our first pick. You know, what were you guys thinking? We picked a running back. I thought there's almost too many on this roster already.
Too many running backs. They got to make a move or someone's not going to be here. We can't roster 6 running backs.
Yeah. It makes you think they're going to probably try to start working things. I heard his scouting report. He kind of plays similar to Kareem Hunt. He is, you know, good field awareness. He can kind of read the blocks and break out, which makes him good for his own scheme. He's a pretty good pass catcher out of the backfield, and he's got really good vision, shifty, can make a guy miss even in kind of a pile, which is really nice to hear. It almost makes me wonder, you know, why he didn't go a little earlier. But like we talked about, unless you are an elite prospect, these running backs kind of fall, and tons of great running backs come out of these rounds. So I don't know. I have to think this puts somebody else, you know, if camp goes well for him, this puts somebody else kind of on the fringe, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see what happens with the running back room. We got to wait and see what happens with D'Ernest Johnson. I'm not sure he signed yet his tenure. So,
and wait, was that due by today? When is that due?
I don't know the details of it. I just read that he's yet to sign. So, I mean, that already to me is a little alarming, but, I don't think they would have taken a running back if they knew Johnson was going to be here. Cause I mean, you're thinking about such a depth guy. Anyways, it's really Hunt and Chubb's game, right? Felton is really going to be he's not going to be playing as long as everyone's healthy. He's not going in for running back snaps. He's going in for like what, receiving snaps, kind of like special formation snaps.
Right now, he's probably not going in at all. He's probably not going to be even the type of guy that dresses yet, but you're right. Yeah, he can be some special teams. My thought was this. So we have Chubb. Chubb's locked up. We have Chubb for a while. This is the last year of both D'Ernest Johnson, who's going to be on a free agency tender. We basically, I think, tendered him because we thought somebody else would be interested and take a shot at him. That's my thought. And Kareem Hunt, who, you know, kind of a Cleveland favorite. He, besides last year where he had some injuries, he's been pretty steady. And he's a great player. He just has a nose for the end zone, a way to get extra yards for the first down. But Kareem Hunt is also a little bit pricey for basically your second running back. And he also is up after this year. So even if D'Ernest and Kareem Hunt are here, they're both off contract next year. So my thought was maybe they're just thinking ahead, and they looked at this kid and said, this kid kind of does what Kareem Hunt does, and that's so different and unique from what Chubb does. Next, if we can keep him on the roster next year, perhaps he replaces both Chubb and Johnson. I mean, Hunt and Johnson. That's just my thought, is maybe they're just taking a flyer at, you know, this isn't a pick for this year, this is a pick for next year. So
yeah, that's a good point.
That makes sense to think about.
And of course this year they got to keep him on. I don't know if they can sneak him to the practice squad. So they got to keep him on there, but who knows? Maybe some team comes up and makes a trade for somebody. Maybe we need to keep in mind that these guys may not all be there. So next up, the last couple, of course, we're getting to the end of the road here. So it's not like big scouting reports on these last few. We did grab another receiver at 202, Michael Woods from Oklahoma. I don't know much about him. You know what he sounded like? An inconsistent version of David Bell. They kept saying the same thing. He's a good route runner, but he'll kind of miss sometimes. He has a little bit more speed, but he just is not a consistent player. But he's a little bit quicker than Johnson, but definitely had slower measures. I don't know. This one was a little bit of a head scratcher, but maybe they just thought we're at a point where we take a flyer, and if this kid gets to camp and outperforms, we've got something. If not, we don't. Did you guys have any thoughts on that guy? He was really one of the guys I know the least about out of everybody. And we're getting late here. We're, you know, this is when you're starting to ease towards the end of the fifth, beginning of sixth round. So, you know, you're looking at just kind of flyers, special teamers, you know, guys who may not make the roster on a team as good as the Browns. But did anything stand out from you guys from Woods?
I had just seen that he was not expected to get drafted. Mm-hmm. He was kind of down in there. He's a senior. His size is fine. Speed's mediocre. He's got long arms.
Another long arm guy.
So not as young as you would love, but again, he was a senior. So
yeah. He was a surprise pick. He doesn't seem to fit the mold, right?
Yeah, that would be the thing where I'm surprised, and I'd have to check where he went. I know there was a couple of guys like Thornton went way earlier than people expected, but even Justin Ross, like that's when you knew like the medicals were real bad. When we were passing up guys like that, or so.
I don't know. It was a big surprise to me. Did you have any thoughts on him, Chip?
I'm sorry, who?
Michael on Woods. Woods.
My guess is, if I had to, if you want to bet a beer, I actually bet he doesn't make the roster.
Yeah. It's not a crowded receiver room, but still he doesn't. He's going to be bottom of the totem pole. Maybe, you know, like I said, he's got a similar breakdown to
the receivers that are coming in. I actually like undrafted Isaiah Weston, but
better than him.
Yeah, better than him.
Yeah, he's at that spot in the draft though, where he may get beat out by an undrafted guy. All right, well, I don't have a lot on him. At 223, the Browns took Isaiah Thomas. I have a little more on him, another Oklahoma guy, along with Woods. He reminds me another guy, long arms, 35 inches, similar, very, very similar to Alex Wright, as far as build, and more established. I believe he was a senior, and he's got a little better career with a little less athleticism and upside. I could see this guy being a guy coming in here and those two trying to push each other to see who can get playing time, because this guy is clearly less athletic, less upside, but has more experience and is more technical from what I read. So I could see him trying to be the guy that gets himself really in the mix. So I guess we'll watch out for him. He's a big body, same thing, very tall, very big, long arms, big hands. So anybody, you guys have anything on him? This is where we're getting to the point where guys are a little bit, you know, underwhelming.
He actually fit kind of more in line with what I would expect around there. He was typically graded fourth, fifth round, redshirt senior. So age wise, he's in a better spot too. Like you said, he's a big guy.
He was one of the guys that we got credit for drafting late, but it was actually had a higher grade. That
being said, Isaiah Thomas and Perrion Winfrey, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Do you think Isaiah Thomas benefited from Perrion Winfrey on the defensive line?
It could be, you know, and Thomas, similarly to Alex Wright, it can kind of be an inside-outside guy. They play at OUO kind of a weird scheme where they move these guys around. I sometimes wonder if that's why they're difficult to scout and they are kind of tough to peg. I'm sure he benefited a little bit from having a guy that talented playing with him. But one thing that's kind of nice about him is I get the feeling he dropped a little because there was other guys at that position who were younger and maybe a little more athletic. And like we talked about, young is a huge thing in the draft these days. The average guy is like 21 and a half. And athleticism, these measurables are big. He's one of those guys who's more a little bit more productive, but his upside is more limited. So I can see maybe him dropping for that reason, which means to me that's a good thing, getting a guy like that late, similar to Bell. You're like, well, I know he's at least pretty good, but because he doesn't seem like he's going to explode into better, he might be a guy that's on your roster as like a second or third guy for years. But we've had those guys, and that's a really useful thing to have, especially when you're paying them no money. And then our last pick in the draft was another kind of big head scratcher, a shocker. We picked center Dawson Deaton from Texas Tech at 246. That puts us with three centers because we picked one up in the free agency period who is a pretty decent guy. I expected to be our backup along with Nick. So that was a head scratcher. I don't have a lot about him except for I heard that he kind of stood out at the East-West Shrine Bowl and some people were impressed with his play at that level. You guys have anything on him? There's not a lot to say for a center in the seventh round.
Yeah. I mean, you're at that point. It's like, we're talking practice squad guys might make the team, might not. So not as head scratching as say a corner.
It may be more of, you know, one of these centers get hurt, we have to have at least a backup center. Who put that we have to go over our three guesses? Because I don't want to, because I feel like I have this weird suspicion Jim might have won.
So if we're going back through, I did. So you can,
for those of you who don't know, we all guessed what we thought would the Browns' first three picks in the draft would be. what position on our last podcast. So,
go back and listen.
Give it to me, Dale.
That was a good one there. So with that, we had all kind of taken some swings and trying to figure out, hey, what were our first three picks going to be? It doesn't matter what round, what order, whatever, but where are we going to land? And you do have a great memory. Jim has that one, but just in the effort of being transparent. So
he's not even on this podcast, so we're never going to tell him.
No, definitely not. He's not going to listen either. So just to reiterate, our first three picks, we had cornerback Martin Emerson, defensive end, edge Alex Wright, and David Bell, wide receiver. Fourth pick was Perrion Winfrey, so defensive tackle. So we did have – so, Chad, you had wide receiver, defensive tackle, and edge. So you nailed picks 2 through 4. So So pretty good there. Chip had tackle, wide receiver, and running back. So Chip actually got picks 3 through 6, nailed that one. So that's – so still doing well for us. So Jim was the closest, I think. So he had wide receiver, cornerback, and then D tackle. So – He didn't get the edge there second, but he got the first, which none of us had on our list, and then right. 3 and 4. And then I had D tackle, wide receiver, and linebacker. So a big swing and a miss with linebacker, tackle not till the fourth, wide receiver third. So I'm gonna say that I'll take the L on that one. Jim's
but I'm just gonna point out to the listeners that you two, all of those positions were what we picked. All those positions are what we picked with our first through sixth pick. If you just combine us all together, we nailed 1 through 6 like 3 times over. So in case you thought we were just making this up on the fly and just drinking beers, talking football, we know a little bit. I mean, we know a little bit, right?
So put the effort in here.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to close out here. Chip, you got anybody else you want to hit on the downside here?
Not off the top of my head. No.
Okay.
You driven towards our new college basketball player who's
tight end?
Our tight end, Zaire Mitchell.
Interesting one. Marcus.
Well, what was really interesting about him is I heard he never took a football snap ever.
So, yeah. Malik Willis. Yeah. Out of
freshman. Malik Smith. Football.
No, Malik Smith.
Marcus Santos played freshman high school football, and apparently that was it. Oh. He's 6'7", he's 245, he's clearly pretty athletic. They really just thought, you know, what the heck, let's go for it.
And we took like three UDFA tight ends. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, like, I kind of came out of this. Doesn't I really sound super great for my boy Brian. No, Brian's going to be fine. Dude, Brian is TE number 2. Man, I think they're just looking like we need some depth and we got guys right now, but we don't have much of a future now that they let Hooper walk. I wouldn't worry about that for Brian. I think Brian has shown like a consistent development. Not only is he going to play a lot this year. If you guys don't have him in fantasy, he might be somebody to pick up, because if Njoku goes down, he's going to be big. And even if he doesn't, the guy's going to see snaps. And
he's going to be on the field.
He's going to be out there. Yeah. So.
And we have all a quarterback that can hit him in the hands.
And by the way, I would just like to bring up one of our fifth round picks was Amari Cooper. For anybody out there who is wondering how the Browns
we did neglect that with our draft picks got us Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, if you're grading the draft, by the way, draft grades, I freaking hate them. Draft grades, I saw, for the most part, I actually saw Browns get pretty good grades, which surprises me, because I see draft grades all the time that are like D. They didn't get anybody with the first two rounds. It's like, well, they didn't have picks in the first two rounds. And you can, if you don't like the Browns trading back, sure, you can knock them for that. But I did see the Browns get a lot of B grades. And but I did see one C grade, and it's like the Browns didn't really grab a super impact starter in this draft. And I thought, used their first round pick on Deshaun Watson and their fifth on Amari Cooper. tell me the team that, you know, pulled in two guys that impactful. And I don't know. I'll take the grade, I guess. But I don't like draft grades for that reason, because everybody seems to have their own grading scale. It's so stupid. But, all right, guys. We covered everybody, and it's going to be a kind of from now on. So, you know, keep listening. We're going to hit some fun topics. We're going to go over past Brown drafts so we can feel much better about what they've done in the last few years based on what they weren't able to do in the previous 20 years. We're going to hit some roster stuff as camps start. And this will be the season where the guys talk a little bit more about just random crap that we want to talk about and just mix in football, basketball, maybe a little Guardians if it favors us along the way. So keep with us. Follow us at Coast, the number 2 Coast X3 on Instagram, Twitter, and you know, subscribe to the pod. Try to make it a regular listen. We'd appreciate it.
Like and comment, and that definitely helps.
Yeah, like,
as well.
Comment, rate us, but only if it's going to be good. And we'll try to keep bringing it to you. All right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Good talking, fellas.
With that, yep. I bid you adieu. Good night.